Reading from Philemon, or Philemon, however you like to pronounce that. And we're going to be reading from verse 8. I've just got it open on my phone. BibleGateway.com is a great way to find that online. So Philemon, verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord.
Well, yeah, thanks for letting me speak with you this morning. My name's Daniel Colwell. Just to give you a little bit of history, I know I've been coming to this church for about 4 years, but I know some of you are sort of only know a little bit. My parents joined YWAM, or Youth with a Mission, when I was 6 years old, and sort of grew up in YWAM. I got to live in India for a year. I went to university and studied human resource management and sociology and biblical worldview. And then went to work with YWAM myself in Hawaii. That's where I met Tabitha. And we got married and lived in Denver for 7 years. And then we came back to join YWAM here in Townsville. We've been here for 9 years. Been working in the finances, both here in Townsville and on the medical ship up in Papua New Guinea. So, God's blessed me with, just a great life serving him. And so, hopefully, that will help sort of to bring God's word to you this morning. So let's begin our time in prayer. Lord, thank you for the time this morning to explore your word and to learn how to give up our rights and to act in love towards those who hurt us, just as Jesus did. May your love continue to be revealed to us so that we can share it with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, have you ever felt like you were totally ripped off and taken advantage of? For me, the one time that sticks out to me was when we'd just recently arrived in Australia and we were looking to buy a family car. We had very limited finances, but we found a 15-year-old Tarago with no air conditioning, but it did have a roadworthy certificate and it fitted our budget, so we bought it. But after 4 months, the engine blew and we could do nothing about it. So, it was heartbreaking to now have no car and no money with which to buy another one. In a similar way, Philemon was ripped off by his slave Onesimus, who had stolen money and run away. Have you ever felt like you were being totally ripped off or hurt by someone? If so, then Paul shows us how love can overcome our rights for justice and punishment. Paul is asking a big request of Philemon, but before he does, Paul wants to know that Philemon will act out of love and not obligation. If you think that this kind of love is beyond you, please join me this morning in exploring Paul's letter to Philemon. So let's continue to read from verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. If you forget what we heard last week, Paul is grateful for Philemon's love for God and his love for others. And now we see Paul appealing to Philemon to continue to respond out of love and free will and not out of obedience or compulsion. As an apostle and leader of the church, it'd be easy for Paul to command Philemon to do what he wanted. But that's not what Paul or God really wants. God always seeks our heart of love rather than our robotic obedience. Our obedience to God should always be based on our love for him, rather than an obligation to be fulfilled. Obedience out of obligation is called religion, but obedience out of love will motivate a person to go far beyond what is expected. So Paul's appealing to Philemon in his love for God and others, rather than his position under Paul's authority to do something big. Paul is highlighting the fact that it's a lot easier to do something based on love rather than because you've been told to do it. Think about this in your relationship with your spouse. If Tabitha gives me a list of jobs to do around the house, I have a choice to make in how I do them. I could look at the list and say, I guess I have to do them because, you know, I made a promise 16 years ago to, and you know, it's my obligation to fulfill them. You know, I'd try and get those jobs done as quickly and as painlessly as possible, trying to cut as many corners as I could. The other way to approach this list of jobs is that this is an opportunity to bless Tabitha. When I wash the dishes, I could dry them and put them away as well. When I sweep the floor, I could mop it. And if I even have time, I could clean the bathroom, even though it's not on the list. This is what it means to act out of love rather than obligation or obedience. Similarly, when Tabitha experiences my service of love, she will hopefully also respond in love with her words and actions towards me. There are many obligations and commitments that we have in life, and if we aren't careful, life can become very mundane. It can be a breath of fresh air to choose to act out of love. Take the act of serving on the church roster in some way. The Bible and our church pastors ask us to serve in the church, and we can look at it as an obligation that we have to do. But if you consider that the love that the pastors have for us and the blessing that you are to everyone else, then you should be happy and motivated to serve in the church in some way. Or what about tithing? You know, the Bible asks us to give money to the church. And if we're thinking more about ourselves and what that money can buy us, we can give our tithe grudgingly or just give what's left over. But if we love God, if we love the church, our pastors and missionaries and all the work that happens here, then we'll happily give our tithe. We might even sacrifice our own pleasures to bless the church in some way. Our acts of service and sacrifice all happen because of our love for God and others, not because we've been commanded to do it. As we keep reading now, we see that this is the main point of Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul is asking Philemon to not insist on his own rights, but to give up his rights and to act in love towards Onesimus, his runaway slave who has now become a Christian. So let's look now at exactly what Paul is asking Philemon to do in verses 10 to 16. That I appeal to you, my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So Paul is asking Philemon to take Onesimus back. Onesimus was a deceptive slave who ripped off his master and ran away. But it seems that Onesimus has become a Christian under Paul, and was helping Paul while Paul waited for his trial under house arrest. It seems that Paul was quite taken with Onesimus, with his description of Onesimus as his son and his very heart. But Paul acknowledges that Philemon has a legal authority over Onesimus that he wants to honor. It's Paul's submission to Philemon's authority over Onesimus that led to this letter being written and Onesimus returning to his master. Paul says that since Onesimus and Philemon are both Christians now, that this relationship with God makes them equals before God. As brothers in Christ, it must be hard for Philemon to have lost a worker, and loving him is definitely wouldn't be the first thing on his mind. But as we heard last week, Paul appeals to Philemon's love for God and love for Paul to encourage him to treat Onesimus as a brother rather than as a runaway slave. Would Philemon have that love and forgiveness to take him back? What would you do? What would you choose if you were in Philemon's shoes? Imagine if you were a small business owner and discovered that an employee was stealing from you. This could be through taking company stock home for personal use, or being paid wages when you weren't working, or submitting fake reimbursement claims. What would you do when you, as the business owner, discovered the theft? You would well be within your rights to sack the employee, to send them to jail, and demand the money be returned. You want justice and compensation for what was taken from you. It's perfectly natural to want justice for the victim of the crime, to want the attacker to pay for their crime and to make things right again. Philemon has every right to punish Onesimus and make him work harder to repay what was stolen. Our criminal justice system is all about seeking revenge and compensation to repay what has been lost. But as we've just read, this is not God's way of making things right. God's justice will come on the last day when Jesus returns, and he will be the judge and jury of each person's actions. But right now, God wants us to love those who hurt us, just as Paul is asking Philemon to love Onesimus. This is the very real and hard question that God is asking us today. Can you love and forgive someone who has hurt you? We have all been hurt by someone before, and it will happen again. We're all sinners. Some of us may have been hurt in small ways, like lying or stealing, deception or anger. And some of us may have been hurt in big ways that's very personal and humiliating. But our hearts are still hurt from the negative ways that we've been treated. No matter what the hurt is, our natural reaction is to want revenge and punishment for the person who did this towards us. We want to defend our human right to justice. We can't wait for God to bring his justice to them, and so we seek any way possible to bring justice to the situation now. Paul, however, is asking Philemon to love Onesimus as a brother. or as a father who loves his prodigal son. In the same way that God loves and forgives Philemon for his sins, Philemon is now being asked to love and forgive Onesimus for his sins. This makes no earthly sense. The only possible reason to not stand on his rights is to recognize that he is in the same position as Onesimus before God. Philemon has hurt God and only has hope in life because of God's love and mercy. Jesus gave up his rights in heaven and came to earth, and then gave up his rights to life by submitting himself to death on the cross, all because he loves us and wants to bring us back into relationship with the Father. Jesus gave up everything because he loves us, and he is the example that we should follow. Jesus loves and forgives the person who has hurt you. Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. It is Jesus' love, that deep, powerful, and unending love, that can motivate and sustain our forgiveness of the person who has hurt you. This love and forgiveness is not something that you do through your own strength and willpower, but it comes as a response to your understanding of Jesus' love and forgiveness of you. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have warm and loving feelings towards that person, nor does it mean that you approve of their bad behavior. Forgiveness is canceling someone's debt and letting them go free, just as God the Father has canceled our debt and let us go free. For you and I, Paul is asking us to love and forgive our enemies and those who hurt us, even those closest to us who hurt us the most. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Now, some of you may say that you could never forgive a person who has hurt you so deeply, but that is not the way God acts towards us. We have hurt and rejected God so deeply at times, and yet his love and forgiveness are always there for us through Jesus' death on the cross. So as we grow in our own repentance and understanding of God's love and forgiveness of us, we can share and express that same love towards others in forgiving them. You may need to continually choose to forgive someone as your heart and emotions struggle to release the hurt and pain. But as you continue to forgive and continue to show love towards those who hurt you, you're releasing both of you from the hurt and pain and into life. Holding on to the hurt and pain only brings bitterness and broken relationships, but forgiveness and love brings life into your soul. One side note that I want to touch on is that the acts of repentance and forgiveness are separate and do not depend on each other. Repentance is an act that the sinner does, while forgiveness is an act that the victim does. You can have repentance without forgiveness, and you can have forgiveness without repentance. You can forgive even if the sinner hasn't repented. You can repent regardless of whether the victim has forgiven you or not. The victim can't force the sinner to repent, and the sinner can't force the victim to forgive them. Each person has a choice to make in sharing God's love with the other person. So, going back to the story at the start of the sermon, Tabitha and I hold no bitterness towards the guy who sold us the Tarago. In fact, this situation allowed God to miraculously provide a calf that we could borrow for 6 months, and to then provide five times the money we originally had for a good quality minivan that's still ticking over today. As I finish now, let me leave you with a few questions. Do you know God's love for you and how your sins are forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross? Have you experienced God's forgiveness of your sins? This is the foundation upon which you can give and receive forgiveness with others. Is there someone that you need to say sorry to today? Is there someone that you need to forgive today? Let's pray that we will all grow in our own understanding and experience of God's love and forgiveness of our sins, so that we can share that same love and forgiveness with others, especially those that hurt us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you love us so immensely that you sent Jesus into this world to make a way for us to be in relationship with you. We're all sinful people who hurt you and hurt others. And even though we have hurt you so much, you still love us and call us your children, because we believe in Jesus' death and resurrection. Your love and mercy is amazing, because we can't do anything to make you love us less. Lord, may you continue to reveal your love to us so that we can then share it with those around us, particularly to those who hurt us. Forgive us of our sins, just as we forgive those who sin against us. We rejoice in your love and mercy and the freedom that you bring as we follow your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.